Hello and welcome to the Total Energies Auto Show with me, Jude Duncan. It's yet another exciting and promises as well to be an insightful edition of your favorite car show, the Total Energies Auto Show. On this show, we get all of your complicated car issues resolved with expert opinions, tips, diagnosis, and advice. We inform on best practices to keep your cars in the best condition and, very importantly, to increase its efficiency. Today on the show, we discuss a major road safety concern. We dubbed the show Driving Around Heavy Haulage Trucks. Very important conversation, because if you follow the news recently, you know that this is an absolute necessity that we have to pay very important attention to, right? Just yesterday, a very tragic fatal story of a police officer who rode his motorcycle into a truck in an attempt to catch up with an errant motorcycle rider, just ended his life like that, right? So really tragic situation, and there's the need we have this really important conversation. So the show today is driving around heavy haulage trucks and other big vehicles in general. So we'll be delving into this really important conversation. But like we always do on the show, we have for you what we call our safety share. Our safety share is basically a tip to help us keep safe on the road as a pedestrian, as a road user, as a driver, as really anybody who takes safety very seriously, right? So our safety share for the day, or for the week really, let me say, is about lubricants. So I chose to call it handling your lubricant safely. Now, it says avoid contamination during the dispensing process. So dispensing process is when you are putting your lubricant where they ought to be in your vehicle. So for the best performance, your lubricant must be clean and free of contaminants at all times. If you see a dispensing method that exposes the lube to the elements such as the funnel and an open vessel to transport it to the end use, you run the risk of having it become contaminated before the point of fill into your equipment. So it's very important that you pay attention to this all the time. Make sure your lubricant is clean and free of contaminant. If you have to use a funnel, make sure you properly clean it once you are done with use, and don't keep it in areas where dust and other contaminants can get onto it. So it's very important. Make sure your lubricant is clean and safe for use at all times. And if you are wondering what lubricant you ought to use for your vehicle, look no further than Total Energies, because they got all you need to make your vehicle run efficiently and effectively. We'll take a short break. I'll be back to introduce my guest. Then we delve into this really important conversation for the day. Quartz, keep your engine younger for longer. Once again, you're welcome to the Total Energies Auto Show with me, Jude Duncan. My guest helping us delve into this very important conversation is no other person but our favorite, really, or let me say one of our favorites on the show at the time. Always a pleasure to have him with his insights into all the discussions we have on the program. Engineer Jacob Mensah, the CEO of Brian's Toyota Inside Tema, is my guest. Engineer Jacob, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
I mean, we focused a lot in recent times on the show on safety. So yes, just before the Easter, we had the National Road Safety Authority come in studio to talk to our listeners about the need to be safe during the Easter festive period. And I think the message went down quite well. We didn't really hear a lot of issues.
And they did well last December too.
Yes, apparently they were in Kwewu and other areas on sensitization drives and initiatives. So that was great. But our conversation for today, a very, very serious one, because there are so many stories in recent times to point out to the fact that this is a very serious conversation. So in March 2024, just last month, March 18, 2024, City Newsroom story, Kwame Eugene injured after ramming his vehicle into tipper truck on the N1 highway. Now, Kwame Eugene is a very popular musician here. So excerpt of the story says, popular Ghanaian musician Kwame Eugene narrowly escaped a fatal accident when his car rammed into a tipper truck on Sunday night near the CP close to the DSTV's head office along the George Walker Bush N1 highway. The incident occurred around 11:30 p.m. According to eyewitnesses, the award-winning musician's Range Rover struck the tipper truck from behind, causing significant damage to his car. It goes on to say, upon arrival at the scene, the Modern Ghana editor, who was an eyewitness, organized transportation to rush Kwame Eugene and another individual to University of Ghana Medical Center for urgent medical attention. And that was in March. Just yesterday, Engineer Jacob, just yesterday, another tragic and fatal story broke at KNUST Junction
in Kumasi.
I know, right? so sad. So it says, this story from the GhanaReport.com says, policeman crashed to death at KNUST Junction. A yet-to-be-identified policeman has tragically died in an accident at the KNUST Junction in Kumasi in the Ashanti region. The incident happened on Wednesday, April 17, 2024. Information gathered indicates that the officer was chasing an Okada rider with his motorcycle for flouting traffic regulations, but hit the back of a stationary truck with registration number GM44513. The video from the scene has emerged on social media, shows him lying lifeless while commuters expressed shock. So really, really tragic story.
It is.
If you go on the City FM Twitter account, we put out a video that sort of summarizes why this show or this particular topic is very essential at this time. So I'd want to urge everybody doing the listening right now, go on to the X platform, formerly Twitter. You'd see a couple of stories, but right after, you see a video from Kenya, and it puts the conversation in proper context. Yeah, and you can also use the hashtag Total Energies Auto Show if you are trying to find the video, or as well, you can go to my Twitter handle @MensaDuncan. I retweeted a post. You see the video there, so you understand the severity of the conversation. Yeah, Jacob, let's move straight into the conversation now. I mean, it's a serious concern, and I'm sure you agree with me.
Yeah.
Why are we seeing more and more of such stories and such crashes involving tipper trucks and drivers in recent times?
Well, it's quite difficult to pinpoint one particular thing, but I believe that it's all born down to driver behavior on the road. This motor rider, yesterday's incident that just you pointed out concerning USD, the truck was stationary.
Yeah.
Was the truck properly stationed? Was it a broken down truck? What happened? I don't know. The motor rider, may his soul rest in peace. Was he alert on the road? I cannot tell. So it all comes back to driver behavior, both on the part of we the motorists, those who are driving other cars or motorbikes, and the owners of the truck. Most of the time, the truck drivers may not know what is happening behind them, because the trucks are very big. For instance, the truck is stationary. You ram into it. What did the truck driver do? Unless probably he parked his car at an authorized place, or he just stopped right in front of you. So I would say that it all boils down to driver behavior. Anybody who's on the street should know that any part of the street, your life is at risk. So you should be conscious of that and then take necessary precaution. We say defensive driving. Drive in such a way that you get home to your family alive. That's how I'm going to put it.
Interesting. I like how you've already delved into the defensive driving.
Yeah, you must.
Because we've had a whole conversation on it in the past. I quite recall you telling us that in defensive driving, an important principle is to always maintain the 3-4 second rule when when you are driving. I mean, we take what you say seriously on the show, so we remember. Yeah, so you talked to us about to us about the 3-4 second rule. Will you say the same rule applies to driving around trucks?
Yes, and even more. You see, because that rule is just about you giving enough distance between yourself and the back of the car ahead of you. So that in case the car should come to a sudden stop, you should be able to brake properly or be able to drive past it. The same goes for truck. The truck will even be more, I would even say that, give more room when you are behind the trucks. Don't drive too close to the truck. Because you see, for the truck, let me say this, that which I believe most drivers might have experienced it. Sometimes you are driving, you look inside your mirrors, side mirrors, right, left. You are very clear. You want to change lanes. As soon as you make an attempt to change the lane, another car haunts you.
Yeah.
Or sometimes even a motorbike. You ask yourself, I look at my mirrors. I didn't see that truck. No, I didn't see that very car or the motorbike or the car.
Yeah.
What happened? There's a blind spot around your car. Small cars. The truck's blind spots are very huge. There are a lot of areas around the truck that the truck driver will not see you. One, remember that most of the time our truck drivers, their sitting positions are higher than most of the saloon cars and the station wagons around them. So they are elevated where they sit. That is one. Their side view or the rear view mirrors on the sides cannot see to the back of the trucks because they are longer. They tend to be medium size or very long trucks. So if you are driving, please, when it comes to that second rule we are talking about, I would advise that when it comes to your trucks, drive in such a way that you can at least see the driver's mirror, the side mirror. You see, if you go too close to your truck, you don't see any of the mirrors.
Yeah.
If I'm driving close to a truck and then to leaving the right letter, make sure they can see the mirrors that the driver or the truck look through. That's the rear view mirrors, either on the left or the right. Normally, on the left is better. The driver actually sits on the left. So if you get that distance, you are safe. If you drive too close to the truck and you are not seeing any of those side mirrors, either the left or the right, then it means you are in an area that the truck driver may not know what is happening behind him. So I advise that give enough space around the truck and behind the truck. You get it? Because it takes patience on the road to be safe.
I get you.
You must be very patient. There are trucks in a different category altogether. They are quite heavy. And when they are in motion, the truck cannot stop within a short period of time. So it is up to you to be very careful around the trucks. Most of the time, when a truck tries to stop suddenly, you lose control.
Interesting. With regards to this video on our Twitter page,
I've seen it.
Yeah. I mean, and listeners, if you're wondering what video you are referring to, you can go onto our Twitter, or formerly Twitter, but now X platform. You'd see the video on CT973 handle. I retweeted it on my personal Twitter too as well, at Mensa Duncan. You'd see the video there. Will you say the driver, for instance, lost control leading to the crash we saw in that particular video?
Yeah, the video I saw, there are cars ahead of the truck. They are come to a stop at a junction, which I presume is a traffic light or something, but it's a junction. The cars have stopped. Because I saw other cars also stopping behind the other cars in front of them, and like a car coming on. Then I saw the truck coming from far.
Yeah.
But the truck had hazard light on. What I saw, the truck had the hazard light on. So I presume that the truck driver was in some kind of trouble. Either the brakes were not effective or something funny. And that where it was coming from, I cannot see it all. But I believe the truck driver, you see, at a point he came close to other cars, he couldn't stop behind them, and they tried veering off.
Yeah.
There was a cap there. As if there's a median or something.
Yeah.
He hit it, it forced on the side, and then that bulk thing behind it forced on other cars.
Crashing it
totally. So I believe that it might have been brake failure, but if it's a brake failure, the truck driver was aware. Because he had his hazard light on. Which I presume his car was not a very safe driving condition. That's why he used that plane. And then he saw the cars ahead of him far away. I don't know why he couldn't do anything about it.
So you feel his reaction time
was slow. Too small. I believe that what I saw, he could have veered off earlier. And even if it falls down, he wouldn't fall on a lot of cars. Because when he was coming from the top, there were no cars behind him. But where he got to, there were too many cars ahead of him. So I would have preferred that he even veered off earlier. Trying to veer off earlier. Then even if he falls down,
he minimizes the impact. Interesting.
Yes. Or he could also have shouted to alert people. Because if I'm in traffic, and there's a shot I see behind me, and I realize that is danger,
you
I'll,
move.
I'll cross the light.
Because that's the most reasonable.
Yes, reasonable to do. If I go to court, a judge will know that
it's a life sentence.
You're a reasonable person. So I think the reaction time
was small.
I'm not there, but from what I saw, I think the driver reaction time was not appropriate, and it didn't act. On time.
I mean, it was a really devastating end.
Yeah, it was.
So unfortunate.
Yeah.
0549-986-996. 0549-986-996. That's our WhatsApp and Telegram line for the show. If you want to contribute, you want to share an experience, you want to ask a question, or you want to just tell us about something you've also seen on the road, you can do that via WhatsApp and Telegram line 0549-986-996. I'll be glad to read across your experience, your comments, your questions, your contributions on this very, very important discussion. Engineer Jacob, I've seen people say that, for instance, if you are driving and out of nowhere you see a truck around you, the best thing is always to drive on its right side. Will you say it doesn't mean much considering the discussion? If you obey the second rule, the three or four more seconds.
Assume you are on a single carriage road. What will you do? So the rule is the same. A truck is like any other vehicle ahead of you, except that it's huge and then probably long. What I would do is that when I see a truck ahead of me, I'll be more vigilant and more careful. The truck may develop a problem, then it had to stop without even alerting you. So keep a very good distance behind the truck. Don't drive too close to the truck. Two, when I'm going to overtake a truck ahead of me, whatever, it doesn't matter how clear the road is, I would prefer, I normally do it, I'll horn the truck driver. I'll blow my horn. As if you're playing with them, they'll respond. Because it's longer and ahead of you. You don't know what's also ahead of you because he's the driver sitting at the top. It's elevated. So when you blow your horn behind him, no blame horn that you should move fast. That's not going to infuriate him. Papa, you give him a sign, you stay behind him. He, at a point, any good truck driver will respond and give you a sign that he can come. That means that in case something else is coming ahead of him, he may be able to help you. So communicate on the road. The driver is ahead of you, is traveling on the road just as you. Horn him, let him know you are behind, you want to overtake. That is one. Sometimes I see people do this. You are driving, you are going towards let's say a traffic light, or if you're on the road, you see a truck trying to join the road. Also, this truck will come ahead of me, come and delay me. They're trying to speed up to cross. It's very dangerous. When the truck starts moving, picking up speed, it is very difficult for a driver to come to a standing halt. If you're not careful, you run into a truck. So if you see a truck either trying to come ahead of you or making a turn, please be patient and be considerate. Stop. Let them do what they want to do. Let him come ahead of you. You'll be picking up slowly. At a time, you can overtake. Because if you don't do that, the chances of you running into them or getting into trouble is very high. You are approaching a traffic light. There's a truck ahead of you. Sometimes you are tempted to speed up and cut ahead of the truck. Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Because the truck, he may not see you early, but by the time he sees you, he cannot stop. So the driver will come after you. He will run the car into you because if you try to stop suddenly, you drop the truck. The truck will fall. So it's likely to hit you from behind. So don't do that cutting in. You are smart. You are cutting to the door. Don't do that.
Will you say it's the case that all of the trucks, really, or most of them, especially the tipper and the haulage trucks, have the longer braking distance? For each reason, it's dangerous to cut them.
They all have, you see, they are heavy. What is braking? There's a weight which is in motion. You want to bring that weight into a stop. You got it?
Yeah.
So as long as the weight is heavy, that momentum, the ability for it to move, that force it has in moving, in motion, it's also very high. So to take a long time for the brakes to break it to a halt. That is why the braking distance are quite long for the truck. So please, when the truck has, if the truck just taking off, is a different matter. It's actually in motion. That is why most of the time, the truck drivers will always want to use their horn.
Yeah.
He's on the way. He sees you trying to cut him, you horn immediately. Sometimes you are very far, but you still horn you. Because sometimes you are underestimating his speed. Or sometimes, as soon as he cuts ahead of him, he may be close to you, or you may develop a fault. So he doesn't even want you to cross him at all. So the distance, the braking distance is quite long because of the way they are designed, and they are heavy.
Their heaviness.
They cannot stop within a short. Unlike the Saloon Cola or Hyundai,
even
small car.
Even a V8.
It's not like that.
Interesting.
So you should be very careful.
You are listening to the Total Energies Auto Show right here on City 97.3 FM with me, Jude Duncan. Let me tell you what our friends at Total Energies have been up to, because a poorly maintained car engine can age faster, and that is why Total Energies offer specially formulated quartz engine oil with age resistance technology. It's a breakthrough innovation that ensures optimal performance for your engine and improves protection against mechanical wear by up to 74% even under extreme temperatures and pressure. Choosing quartz from Total Energies is choosing the engine oil that keeps your engine running efficiently and effectively. Quartz keep your engine younger for longer. The discussion today is centered on driving around track safety concerns and safety measures we opt to adopt in order to keep safe on the road. And engineer Jacob Mensah, the CEO of Brands Toyota, helping us with that discussion, which also has elements of a physics lecture, right? When he talks about the long braking distance and the heaviness of the vehicle and the potential damage it could cause if you make a sharp cut. So a little physics lessons there for us. Interesting. Engineer Jacob, I've also seen people share experiences to say that it's important to watch your dim lights, or even how bright your lights are when you're driving behind the any of these trucks, because of the possible blinding effect it could have on the truck driver, for which reason he could just ram into you if he's not seeing clearly. Will you say it's also a concern?
It's a concern not for the trucks. You see, if you are driving behind me, can be a saloon car, and then you throw your headlights so high, you can blind it. Because for even a saloon car, you are the rear view mirror, the one inside. It can blind you.
Even when there are no street lights and the road is very dark.
You see, the road is very dark. There's another truck ahead of you. If you use your highlight, you want to throw very far. But if the truck is ahead of you, you may not need that highlight because you can still see within that short distance.
Yeah.
You want to keep a very good distance. So lights can always blind everybody. So be able to use our lights quietly is also very important. So if there's no car ahead of me, I have my highlight on. If there's a car ahead of you coming towards me, I'll dim. Most people don't do that. So if you blind a person, then a person, if it's a truck, he cannot even tell you, because if it's quite longer, far ahead of you, he may not see. So you should be considerate on the road. Think for the person ahead of you. They all have lives, just as you have. You all have families to go to. So let us support each other on the road. After all, if somebody goes ahead of me, we will not take the road away. So let's be that considerate, that patient on the road. Then all of us will be happy to live without killing ourselves on the road. You got it. For instance, I'm behind a truck. You see a truck has shown you travelator. Sometimes you are tempted to think that the truck driver might have forgotten about the travelator because it's there for a long time. Don't make that mistake. Because normally when the truck wants to turn, sometimes you need a wider angle. So it's giving you an indication for a long time to know that I may be turning, I'll be slowing down. That's why you're allowed to whatever it is. Be very careful. The truck, while it's giving more indication to you, he may turn. If you think that way, he might have forgotten his travelator on, because he might have got the travelator on, he's not turning immediately. You can be in trouble. So be patient. If you're not sure, blow your horn. Papa, alert the driver. If he has forgotten his travelator on, you put it off. Then you know you are safe. But never make any assumptions for the driver. You're not the one on the steering wheel on the truck. You are driving either around, either on the side, or behind. Don't make those assumptions. So the light, yeah, back to the light.
Mm.
Use the light appropriately.
Mm.
Either there's a truck ahead of you, or a bus ahead of you, or a smart car ahead of you.
Mm.
The light, if they are not used properly, will affect everyone. Imagine I'm driving in front of a small car. I want to make a turn. I didn't show traffic gator, and I slow down. I can be in trouble.
Mm.
It doesn't matter whether it's a truck or a bus. So after the light, we use the light to communicate on the road. So drivers on the road, we don't only meet trucks on the road.
Mm.
We meet all other vehicles.
Mm.
So when it comes to a lighting system, let's use them. It doesn't matter whatever car is around us or ahead of us.
Interesting.
That's the advice I'll give.
Very, very, very timely. Engineer Jacob, let me point out this really interesting statistics.
Okay.
This is actually from the USA.
Okay.
I've not seen any similar work done in our local context.
Yeah, our context, we don't do so much statistics. Maybe we have to start doing on
an issue like this especially. Yeah. But this research conducted by the Graham Law Firm in the United States pointed out that a driver of the large truck dies in less than 15% of the truck crashes recorded, while the driver of the other vehicle involved, typically a passenger vehicle, is killed nearly 57% of the time. The passengers of the motor vehicles account for more than 16% of the truck accident fatality. So more often than not, in the overwhelming percentage, show that the driver of the smaller vehicle
dies.
Is the one that dies.
Yes, because you see, let's assume I ram into a truck from behind.
Mm.
Naturally, if it's a small car, you die because you are going to go under it.
And the one in the truck will be relatively
because the truck the cab is big, he's elevated.
Mm.
If you hit him from the front, you are likely to go under him and the side. So those doors are a little safe.
Mm.
That's why sometimes these guys driving these trucks that are carrying sand in here.
Mm.
You see that they don't bother on the road.
They can't be bothered.
They can't be bothered.
Yeah.
As if
like there's nothing at stake.
There's nothing at stake.
I feel you.
Because where he is, the chances of him dying is very, very low.
Mm.
Compared to you, the saloon car, or the bus, or whatever, very, very low. So sometimes, I see the road is there, you must go off and allow them to go.
Mm.
So the statistics, I believe it is right.
Mm.
And the I way, think... The way, okay, talk.
Yeah, I was only going to say that. I also think that it points us to the fact that the greater responsibility also lies on you, the passenger vehicle driver, right?
Yes.
Because then, at the end of the day, in the case of a crash, you are more likely to be at a really devastating end of it. So it's important that you bear the greater responsibility.
That's why I keep using the word patience and considerate.
Mm.
Because the chances of you dying is far higher than that of the truck driver.
Yeah.
So be patient.
Yeah.
Go home and then reach home to your family. So don't rush.
Yeah.
You assume that they are the elephants on the road.
Mm.
Let them do what they want to do.
Mm.
And then you get home peacefully. After how many seconds or how many minutes will it delay you?
That is true.
You cannot push them off. You can't push them.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, Jacob. Yeah. I mean, really, really insightful conversation. I must say, and I'm sure our listeners are picking a lesson or two out of what we are discussing. For most part of the conversation, we've delved into what road smaller vehicle drivers ought to do when they are driving around the tracks. I want us to now focus on the drivers of the large trucks themselves, because more often than not, you also find them in positions that are not proper in terms of conduct behind the wheels when on the road using these large trucks. So what you say, because you hear concerns about them driving under very fatigued circumstances, right? So they are very tired behind the wheels more often than not, because they are doing very long journeys and they probably want to complete the trip very early for whatever reason. So instead of taking naps, they would still rather go on the road slowly and indifferent of every other driver's concerns, like you were saying not too long ago. So will you say the drivers of these large trucks are key role to play in terms of ensuring the safety of other road users?
Yes. Mm. Every driver on the road has a responsibility to make sure that every user on the road gets home safely.
Mm.
So if a truck driver feels he's tired, why should he still be on the road?
Mm.
They also have responsibility. They are human beings, they are responsible.
Mm.
They must be as responsible as we are, just as we are being careful driving around and behind them.
Yeah.
They should also be careful on the road, know that there are small cars around them. And they have what you call the blind spots on their cars are bigger.
Yeah.
So the chance of he not seeing me is high. And because he may not see my small car by his side, he is also supposed to be more careful, to be watchful, and also assume that there could be somebody on my right.
Mm.
So we help each other. We are each other's keeper on the road. The fact that you are in the truck doesn't make you different from me.
Yeah.
We all have like, the chance that I will die early because you are driving a truck. It doesn't do anything. Even one life is too much a life for us.
Yeah.
So truck drivers also had the same responsibilities that the small drivers have.
Mm.
We will be careful by keeping enough distance behind them. They too should also be careful not to drive too close to small cars.
Mm.
It's the same thing.
Mm.
You are bigger, you are moving fast, you know your stopping distance is high.
Mm.
If your stopping distance are longer, why do you speed close to a small car ahead of you?
Mm.
You cannot do that.
Mm. Mm.
So the responsibility goes both ways.
Mm.
We, those driving smaller cars around and behind them or in front of them, just as we will not cut in front of them, they too should also not cut in front of them. Because when they cut, they have their trailers and things going to disturb us.
Yeah.
So it goes for everybody. Mm. Every driver on the road has a responsibility to make sure that the other road user is safe.
So it's a collective,
Responsibility.
Responsibility. Very, very well noted. Interesting. 0549-986-996. Our message from El Lubus inside Tema. It says, Engineer Jacob, great education there. But most of these truck drivers don't communicate back when you signal them. I can say 100% of accidents I've witnessed on the Accra Cape Coast Road is due to overtaking of these trucks because I frequent that road.
Mm.
He goes on to say, I think the Road Safety Authority should give them a code. When a truck sees more than 5 cars behind him, he should know he's delaying other road users and therefore should carefully go on the right side for other road users to overtake them safely. Gracias.
Okay.
This message is from El Lobos Tema. So who is pushing for some?
Let me take one by one.
Mm.
I use that Cape Coast Road a lot because I'm from that area.
Mm.
Now, it is true that most truck drivers don't communicate back.
Yeah.
A few do.
Mm.
Some of them will not come. You blow them the horn, give them all the gymnastics, they will not mind you.
Like you said, they are in their own world. They are
in their own world.
Mm.
But the onus still rests upon us or on us to be patient to overtake them.
Yeah.
Make sure your way is clear and overtake. So they will not mind you.
Mm.
Most of the accidents you talk about Cape Coast Road are overtaking. It is true. Not only overtaking trucks, because you see, when you're overtaking the trucks, it is dangerous because the truck is longer.
Yeah.
So as you know, you see, it all comes back to you understanding driving and know the fixes of your car.
Mm.
If you want to overtake the truck, because the truck is longer, you should want to guess the distance or the length of the truck and know which piece you should pick up in.
Mm.
I will not overtake a truck if I'm too close to the truck and then I'm in fourth gear and I start overtaking from fourth.
Mm.
You have more a speed, but acceleration will be low. Because when your acceleration is low, you can overtake quickly.
Mm.
So there are matters, there are ways of doing that. You understand? It's better for you to be behind the truck, pick up the speed, and do the quick overtaking.
Mm.
But it's all boils down. The Cape Coast Road has some turns here and there, curves, sometimes you are climbing.
Mm.
If you are not careful, you may not see another car coming ahead of you when you are aware, because the truck will not save you.
Mm.
If you are overtaking a truck and that car is coming, if it's a small car, he may want to step off the shoulder for you.
Mm.
The truck will not attempt that, because if he does that, you're going to go into the ditch.
Mm, interesting. I mean, our listener's message he sent also goes on to push or talks about the probability of coming up with some regulation from road safety and probably DVLA, where his point is that when a truck sees more than 5 cars behind him, he should know that he's delaying other road users and therefore should carefully go on the right side. Well, my point is, if they would see these 5 cars
you
behind
them... You see, that's the question.
Yeah, but Jacob, my
blind
question,
spots, he may not see too far behind him. That is one.
Mm.
Two, human behavior.
Mm.
How I be on the Kumasi Road? Let me tell you something. There are trucks.
Mm.
This one I was traveling.
Mm.
The way was clear.
Mm.
There was a car ahead of me, which is this Ford. I could have overtaken that Ford, but I know I cannot speed with him, so I decided to relax. We're going. There's some cars ahead of the truck.
Mm.
No, I was ahead of the Ford. You could have overtaken me easily. He didn't. So I was going. He waited. At a point, I drove until I got to a place where the other cars ahead of me. When about 7 cars were stretched, that was when the force started overtaking us.
7 cars?
I'm telling you.
7?
He overtook all of us at the stretch.
1,
yes,
2.
Yes, 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 yes. Because I was ahead of him.
6.
He didn't overtake me. Mm. I was driving and I got close to other cars ahead of me so I could count.
Mm.
They started overtaking. It overtaking me first and taking the other 6 ahead of me.
Like some Fast and Furious.
I couldn't believe it. I said, why the driver do this? You got it. He wanted a truck.
Yeah.
So the human behavior, you cannot take it away.
I can imagine.
You get a code, who'll be there to check?
So it segues into my next question for
go
you.
Go ahead.
Do you think from your experiences within the space that our regulators, and when I refer to the regulators, the DVLA, the Road Safety Authority, the Transport Ministry, the Roads and Highways Authority, should come up with some comprehensive guidelines around trucks? Because, for instance, you'll be driving on the N1, you see a truck that's broken down, and they don't even have a very simple triangle, warning triangle. They don't even have it on a very busy road like the N1. So we say it's about time, really, we forced leadership to come, or even if there is, then make sure that it's enforced at
those
a certain level.
Those regulations are there. Though I don't work for them, but the little I know, we don't need any new regulations.
They are all there.
The DVN, before you get your license, before you get your roadworthy, there are a number of triangles you should have.
Mm.
The guy may go and get he may take the triangles there, either it is belongs to him or he has borrowed them. I don't care. You cannot play DVLA. But when the truck came there, he had all these things there. He had passed them with the roadworthy. They are roadworthy. Maybe the guy didn't even own them. How would the DVLA know? He wouldn't know. So that is a human behavior. The guy goes, something, you see the truck has broken down. They are gallons. They put the gallons in the road to warn you. How much a triangle? That a truck which is carrying goods from Kumasi to Tema, all the money they make, they cannot buy triangles. The DVLA cannot be blamed because the truck must have gone there for all the triangles. They got their roadworthiness. The guy goes and they brought it. So it's the human behavior. After the rules, I believe that the DVLA has a lot of regulations. They have everything because we always copying international levels.
Standards,
so we have them. But it's the human behavior.
The pushback, human behavior, I get your point on it. But the pushback will be that it's not just enough having the laws, right? The laws should be enforced.
So when a truck breaks down, he has a gallon behind it. Then what police rider, in case a new police rider is driving and he sees on the road, he should be arrested. Because he's not supposed to use gallons.
Yeah.
You got it.
So the police also has a responsibility to crack down on the indiscipline on our roads.
People are indiscipline.
I feel
the police will go after them and somebody will say they are taking money from them. I mean, whole lot of
like
things.
The tragic police motorcycle rider who lost his life yesterday.
Trying to enforce the law
and
he lost his life.
Quite unfortunate. So we have this message from Pa Willy in Ashaliboche. He says that other countries regulate the movement of these long vehicles. In some countries, they are only allowed to use the roads at night. Elsewhere, there are specific less busy roads they are allowed to use. I think government should put into consideration and come up with applicable regulations on track driving. I mean, quite a number.
You know, some years ago, we had something like that. Some years ago, they only allow a truck to continue driving. When it's 6 o'clock, you park and sleep. Some years ago, we had it in Ghana here. 6 o'clock in the evening, the trucks will have to stop. Wherever you get to, you stop and sleep.
Yeah, because like I mentioned before, the research I read from the Graham Law Firm pointed out that driver fatigue of the truck driver is also a leading cause of this.
But still, the human factor. The man is tired. How would I know that the guy is tired when he's here?
I feel you. Maybe we could come up with these technologies that at these police checkpoints to you know the way they can check for alcohol, the breathalyzer, and all of those things. I'm sure maybe we should be looking at those advanced technologies police checkpoints.
I believe that we should work. You see, it doesn't matter the technology you have. If the human being doesn't want to behave properly, the technology will be there. People will still be dying. So I will always go for the human factor. We should change our behaviors. When we change our behaviors, the technology will help us to do better.
Yeah.
But until change of behaviors, we continue to.
So the primary thing is human indiscipline.
I always say, you see, the human being got it right, he behaves right. The police will not have too much to do.
Interesting. This one says, sir, went over to you, Jolati was alive. I believe.
The
commentator,
yes.
Went over to you, Jolati was alive. I like the way this is. These road accidents were minimized because he was really teaching drivers. I'll urge CTFM to extend your road education to our TV stations.
Fantastic.
Where our drivers can listen and learn. Also, if this can be done in our local tree for everyone to understand. This is from Tony in Accra. And I agree with you, Tony. CTFM on this platform is leading this very important conversation on road safety. Like I mentioned to you early on, before the Easter festivities, we had a road safety authority come in studio to explain and account for their stewardship in terms of putting in place the necessary measures to make our road safe. And we've gone back to this track issue also on the broader conversation on road safety. So I agree with you, Tony, and you can be rest assured that we'll do our best to increase the sensitization on the need for road safety. Inya Jacob, is there anything that you want to touch on that you've not spoken about before we move into very briefly towards the end about the rains? Because, you know, it's a major concern. The rains are coming. And a lot of drivers are worried about so many things, including flooding and the potential risks it could have on their vehicle. So if you have something to touch on briefly for on the tracks.
Okay, what I touch on briefly is that for the sake of your life, if you're on the road and then you have to give way to a truck, don't be too... I have the right of way, I have the right to, I won't give you a chance and things. Some of this doesn't happen. After all, it's better for you to get home alive. So in case you're on the road and then for some reason you have to slow down or even stop for the truck to take your right of way, I think I will advocate for
it
that.
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt to do that.
And like you mentioned, patience is key.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, Jacob, the rains are in again. I mean,
yeah, rains are in.
3 days ago, it was
terrible. I was on the motorway at the time.
I can imagine. I really don't want to be in that situation at all. We saw videos and pictures from Legon. I mean, the Legon
highway
stretch.
Okay.
Beautiful stadium recently completed. The main road was in complete chaos. Floods everywhere. Kaneshi, my beloved. I mean, the floods were there. The news right now, big news right now, is that Dubai, of all places,
I saw it on TV yesterday,
has recorded its heaviest rainfall in 75 years.
Yes.
And of all places, really, they are struggling to deal
with
the menace it's caused.
Yeah.
Not to talk about us, because here, even after 15 minutes of rain, we are in trouble. What would you say is the most important thing drivers ought to pay attention to as we head into the rainy season?
As we head into the rainy season, when you see the level of water on the roads are high, don't attempt to drive through them when you are not too sure of the depth. If there's a car ahead of you which is going through, then you can use that car to gauge. If you are not sure, stop somewhere which is safe and rest there until the rain subsides or the floods go down, because people are driving their cars, the roads they know very well. They couldn't anticipate the height or the level of the water, and then their cars got flooded. There are instances where people's cars have been swept into moving large gutters here and there. So I would advise that if you're on the rain, please, it's raining, be very careful. If you have to stop somewhere, park there and rest a little while you wait for the rain to subside. Why then do that? And don't try to go into a pool of water where you're not too sure, especially on the motor or the highways. If you see a pool of water, slow down and drive through it slowly. Because if you are speeding, all the tires which are rotating very fast go to a pool of water. If you're not careful, it can be swayed away. So that was the little advice I'll give. And they don't speed in the rain.
Yeah.
Just slow down. Yeah. In fact, the motorway, we're doing about 60 per hour on the motorway. I was enjoying it. I was looking ahead of the cars behind me. And nobody was coming across me that we all do around the same speed. So I was happy. So even when I went to the office, I told my boys that today I'm sure we'll not have any accident on the motorway. One of them said, oh, boss, you have the people drive. But luckily, I haven't seen anything.
You didn't hear of anything.
Yes, I didn't hear of anything. I believe the motor was safe yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes. But the rains were heavy. It was quite heavy, yes.
So the point is that if you are disciplined on the road,
we'll be fine. The human element is big.
And I like the way you put it. It's a collective responsibility.
It is.
So everybody has got a role to play in this.
Yes.
This show.
And then we as technicians have a grocery. You have to put the cars properly right.
Because
the road, the driver, and the vehicle. This
The road, the driver, and the vehicle. This show will be up on our Spotify channel on City 97.3 FM. If you missed any bit of it, you can go to Spotify, get it. The main conversation on the day was driving around tracks. I believe so much that you've learned something new for yourself. Because even me, there are so many takeaways for me on this show. Engineer Jacob Mensah, CEO of Brands Toyota, Inside Tema. Engineer Jacob, I guess so many people asking me for your number.
Wow.
I think you just told them so. Yeah. So you want to
know my personal one? The office number.
The office one. So they go there straight.
050-472-9524. The office number.
You want to take it again?
050-472-9524. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to Engineer Jacob Mensah, who was my guest, helping us into a conversation on driving safely around tracks. Later into the dying minutes of the show, we had a discussion on keeping safe as the raining season approaches. We'll find time and delve into this conversation on a bigger scale in the coming weeks.